relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Can't get enough of my dulcet tones. Want exclusive content that you can't find anywhere else, including my take on the real story behind the fake news? Join my cabinet, Gorka's Cabinet, today. Go to sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A.com. Click on the Gorka's Cabinet banner and join the most exclusive club out there for content you can't find anywhere else and the knowledge you need. Gorka's Cabinet at sebgorka.com. Thank you for joining us on America First with our very special guest host, former U.S. Navy SEAL, FBI agent, and U.S. Air Marshal, Jonathan Gilliam.
And this is Jonathan Gilliam, and that was Sebastian Gorka, who's out on medical leave with his knee surgery. And I had the same surgery a couple of years ago. I'm sure, I don't know about both guests, but I know Drago, my next guest, along with Mike Gasali. Drago was a Navy SEAL for 20 years. I'm sure he's had some, I know he's had some surgeries. But let me introduce you guys real quick. Mike Gasali. I get to speak at an event tonight with him. Joe Piscopo is going to be there. It's going to be an amazing event, and it's an honor to be there. And Mike Gasali is the mayor of Montville, New Jersey. He came over from Syria in 87, but he became American citizen in 1987. And he, you know, basically Syria was very similar the way it was ran and the stories that he has as a socialist country. Drago was under the strong arm of the socialist slash communist government of Poland, and was actually put in prison for several years for being part of the freedom movement, basically there. And so he came over and became American citizen in 1991, and then enlisted in the Navy and became a Navy SEAL for 20 years. Both of these men and their stories are amazing. And so I wanted to bring them on. I've interviewed them both on my podcast, The Expert, so you can get a more detailed interview if you want to go there. But it's pretty interesting, gentlemen, when I interviewed you both, how similar the stories were. Mike, let's start with you.
They're very similar. That's what socialist countries do, where you live under the control of the government, and the government basically takes control of what you do, where you go, what to eat, how to do things. You can go shopping, but you can only go shopping from a government store. That's how that is.
And it may or may not have anything in it.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to drive a car, there's probably only a few kinds of cars that you can drive. If you want to watch a TV, there's one channel, and it's usually the government channel.
Now, was Syria always like that, or did it go that way in your lifetime?
In 1980s, when I came here, I was 16 when I came in. So in my 16 years in Syria, it was under the president, the Assad, the father. And they had to have a strong grip on the control of the country because of the different uprisings that were happening. And in 1980, it just went up all the way where there were killings and there were like tanks in the street, machine guns all over the place. And they had to have strong control. And that's what we lived under.
Now, Drago, it's almost like I'm listening to the same story, but it's two different places in the world. When did socialism actually engulf Poland? And then how long did it take them to get it out of there?
It happened after the Second World War, but it took almost till 1993 before Poland freed themselves from the yoke of socialism. And we have to remember that it was not bloodless. there's a lot of victims of socialist regime, and they are still finding mass graves of political dissidents of socialism even today.
Yeah. So that's like 50 years it took to get once it marched in, it was like 50 years to get rid of it.
Yes.
Amazing. And Mike, is it so this Assad, the father of the current president, is this something that we see in socialist countries where once they get a hold on the country that it becomes a family regime where they pass it down?
It has to be, because if they lose, they'll all be killed, them and their families, unless they're driven out of the country, but then they'll be chased and killed either way. And they probably had 16, 17 different presidents in the last century.
That's one of the reasons why I always preach against nepotism in politics. I don't believe in, you know, dynasties, political dynasties at all. In Poland, Drago, did you see hints of that? Is that one of the reasons why it lasted so long?
Yes, absolutely. It's not only that. Remember, once they get hold of the control of the country, they will make sure that those people who advance in the government or in any political structures are obedient and communists or socialists. And you cannot even go to school if you don't have a point for being for belonging to a family with political ties, or being himself a member of youth communist organization.
Go ahead, Mike.
That's the same story, Jonathan. As I said, they have the elections every few years, but the president wins by 99.99% every time. And the 0.001 that vote no, they disappear.
Yeah.
That's how they keep the power.
That's one thing that bothers me. And okay, so we don't live in a socialist country, but I do see hints of that exact thing in these two political parties, by the way, which are not government entities. They are private companies, the Democrat and the Republican parties. And what we see, especially, I have to say, in the Democrat Party, it's at least more overt, is that these caucuses and primaries – and now they're talking about, you know, how it's going to be. I can't remember what the term is that they're using, but how it is if they've got the system where the people that they want to be up there are the people that are going to be up there. And then ultimately, it doesn't matter which one of the six or 12 that you vote for, you're pretty much going to be in the ballpark of where that party wants you, not where the people want to be. Go ahead.
That's exactly the same system. That's exactly the same system, where they would you know, pick one person, and that person is going to be negotiated with all the delegates, and everyone will vote for that one person, regardless of what the people want.
Now, I want to ask Drago, and then I'm going to ask Mike. I'm going to ask you the same question. You know, one of the things I'm going to play cut 11. Let's listen to that real quick, and then I'll tell you where my question is.
Mayor Bloomberg, should you exist?
I can't speak for all billionaires. All I know is I've been very lucky, made a lot of money, and I'm giving it all away to make this country better. And a good chunk of it goes to the Democratic Party as well.
Is it too much? Have you earned too much money? Has it been an obscene amount of money? Should you have earned that much money?
Yes. I worked very hard for it.
Now, first of all, he's lying. He's not giving all his money away. That's a flat-out lie. But how start with Drago. How frightening is it to hear that question, that what you've done and the success that you've had, is it too much?
That's basically the socialist communist motto. You can make a lot of money. If you make too much money, you need to give it away. We tell you how much money you can make. They control it, but they don't distribute actually to the people. They distribute to themselves. So this is how they, once they get roots and hold of the country, it's very, very hard to rid of them, because just because of that. They control your pay. They control your job, healthcare, and everything. And then if you are not going along with their line, they will just deny you any services, and you will be ostracized. And they have money that they collect from the rich people, and they will bully you. They will use that money against citizens.
Right. Now, Mike, you were a business owner, And you not only became an American citizen, you actually developed your own company, and you became mayor, and now you're running for Congress. How scary is it to know that, you know, when you're elected for Congress, you're going to be going to work with these people?
Well, this is this mission I took on is to take this head on and say, you know, this is not on my watch. I will not let socialism and people like that come into this country and destroy what we've built for the last so many years. There, you know, someone has to stand up and say, you know, Mr. Bernie Sanders and Bloomberg and AOC, you are 100% wrong. This is a great country. We live in the greatest country on earth. And unless we stand up, you know, people like you, people in the media, people in politics, and stand up, raise our hands and say, stop it. You guys are going the wrong way. This is not how it is. They know nothing about socialism. They've never lived it. They have never experienced it. And they think it's a cool thing to do, to share. And it's the wrong thing to do. And I'm taking the fight right to Washington.
Well, I'm going to be supporting you tonight in that fight. And what we're going to do now, though, let's take a break. I'm going to hold you guys over because I've got some other incredible questions for you. And then if we get some callers that want to ask you some stuff, 833-33-GORKA, 833-334-6752. That's the call-in numbers. Again, with both of these incredible Americans, you can go to my podcast, The Experts. Drago was in episode 2. Mike Gasalli is in episode 5. And you can listen to their full stories, which are just absolutely amazing. You can go check those out. This is Jonathan Gillum filling in for my good buddy, Sebastian Gorka. And also go check out my book, Sheep No More, The Art of Awareness and Attack Survival. It'll help you see the way these people think. We'll be right back.
America First, Magnificent.
This is Jonathan Gillum in for my good buddy Sebastian Gorka. Call-in number is 833-33-GORKA, 833-334-6752. And joining me, I'm holding these guys over because they just have amazing stories, is Mayor Mike Gasalli from Montville, New Jersey, who's running for Congress in New Jersey's 5th District. Is that correct, Mike?
That's correct, yep.
And also my good buddy Drago, former Navy SEAL, also came here from Poland after he had spent several years in a Polish prison for being basically a freedom fighter. I mean, although he was fighting with information, that's why he's part of the Freedom Underground, and they didn't like that very much. So I want to ask you both, it seems as though, we'll start with you, Drago, because this hasn't quite materialized in Syria yet. But in Poland, we were talking about how it took 50 years or more or less for an uprising to occur. But there always seems to be an uprising eventually, unless these countries go full-blown communism, in which they're I don't know if there's really that much difference between the extreme socialism you lived in and communism. But when these uprisings happen, how many of these people were there when it started and gave over to the promises of socialism? And then how long did it take them to regret that promise?
Well, it happens almost every 4 years or every 5 years. In Poland, it was cyclic. It was 1968, 1970, 76, 78, and 80. But it was all suppressed because people had no weapon, nothing to defend themselves with. So they were just more there on the street, and at that time also there was no internet, it was quiet, and nobody knew about it. But like I said earlier, the graves of these victims are still being discovered today. So it almost happens every 3-4 years, but then every time it happens, they not only slaughter the people, but the socialists, they slaughter themselves to the next group comes in. And they explain to people that, no, we know how the socialism should work. We will implement it the right way and just follow us. And that 4 years later, that group is going to be eliminated. There is going to be an uprising. A next group comes in with the same story. Yeah, we know better. We will make the socialists better than the last group. So it happened like so many times that people eventually stop paying attention to the press, just like happens here where people stop paying attention to fake news, CNN, MSNBC, NBC.
Yeah. Mike, in Syria, have there been attempts at these uprisings? And I mean, I think Syria is a little different in the way that it's got a lot of proxy war going on. And why is Syria so important to other countries?
So, Jonathan, in Syria, there are different tribes, different religions, different sects of different religions. It's very complicated, and they all want power. So the minority takes power, the Alawite, and then they start to say, why do they have the power? And the uprising starts. But why these things happen, people want to live in dignity. People have pride, just like we all do here. We want to live in peace, and we want to have choices. There comes a time where, after a while, say, enough is enough. I want to live my life free, just like everyone else. And the uprising starts, and the killing from the government starts. And then they kill them. Like in 1980, when we came in, maybe 30,000 people or so, 2 years later, in the town of Hama were killed because they were trying to do the uprising on the government. And then they stopped. And then, like my friend said, every 4 or 5 years, they start something. That repeats itself every 4 or 5 years.
Interesting how that happens every 4 or 5 years. Why do you think that is, Drago? I mean, is it because it takes that long to get people rallied up or to get them trained? Or what is this 4 or 5 year timeline?
Most of it is the economy that tanks to the point that people go hungry. In Poland, there was not so much the time, I mean, many times about just fighting socialism, but get something to eat. Get bread. So when you can't buy food, and you hear the price skyrockets, and your bread costs 3 times as much as it was yesterday, people are hungry. They go on the street and say, "We have enough with the socialism. We need real economy, and we need food." So usually, is the word economy tanks. This and goes down really bad, and it happens every time in socialist system. Then people go on the street, but in Poland at the time, they had nothing to fight with, so they were murdered, they were slaughtered and intimidated, put back right in place where communists wanted them, or socialists. And it happens around the world. It happens whether it's Venezuela, Cuba, Poland, Czechoslovakia. It happens every day, and it happens today as it happened 50 years ago.
Yeah. I want to play, I want to play Cut 12. And this is Chuck Todd talking to Pete Buttigieg. Go ahead.
Mayor Buttigieg, I want to get you in on this because, in 2000, you wrote an award-winning essay. You praised Senator Sanders. You specifically praised him for embracing socialism. You have now since said that you're concerned about his policies. But I am curious about this. Are you out of touch with your own generation? Millennials, by a big chunk, embrace his version of democratic socialism. You do not. Are you out of touch with your generation?
Can you, first of all, can you believe that? I mean, this is the mainstream media treating socialism as though it's just normal. It's just, this is just their political ideology. It's no big deal. They're just another candidate. Isn't that shocking, Mike?
Scary. It's not only shocking, it's scary. And to hear this and to know that there are millions of people following those guys and Bernie Sanders, the same thing. They talk about that. And they talk about, Bernie says, it's a good thing when people wait in line to get their food. It's a good thing to wait in line to get your bread. That's, and then there's millions of people who love him and they follow him and they say that's a good thing. That's scary.
Yeah, that's very scary. Drago, go ahead.
Yes, whether it is Bernie's socialism, Bernie Sanders, whether it is democratic socialism, socialism or national socialism, they all have one thing in common. They are very dangerous, and the victims, the dead bodies are spread out all over the world, victims of that socialism, whether Bernie socialism or national socialism. We know how that socialism worked out for Germany, don't we?
Yeah. Not good. It's interesting because when we're going to focus on Bernie Sanders because he just outwardly says it, right? I think Bernie has realized that there's enough young people because they've been programmed that now he can just say, I'm a socialist, and he's going to garner a certain percentage of these people. He's going to get their vote. But the thing that bothers me that I don't think people are that are actually looking, and if you guys want to stay on, I'll bring you back again. This is an incredible conversation we're having, is that when we listen to sound bites from these other people, they are clearly socialists. And what's funny about what he was saying there to Pete Buttigieg is that Pete Buttigieg is socialist. I mean, there's no doubt in that. I mean, the things that he believes are not that far away from Bernie Sanders. But stay right there, guys. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and discuss this more with Mike Gasalli, mayor of Mottville, New Jersey, and my good buddy Drago, who's a former Navy SEAL. Both immigrated to this country, became amazing American citizens. And you can hear more from them after this on my podcast, The Experts. Go check it out wherever podcasts are at. And get my book, Sheep No More, The Art of Awareness and Attack Survival.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and the battle for 1600.
The antidote to fake news, America First.
That song is so amazing for what we're talking about right now, because I feel like that's what we're screaming. I haven't heard that song in so many years, but that's exactly what we're doing. I'm on with my good buddies, Mike Gasalli, who is the mayor of Mottville, New Jersey. He's running for Congress in New Jersey's 5th District, and my good buddy, Drago, who is a former Navy SEAL and a Polish immigrant. Mike is a Syrian immigrant, and both have these amazing stories about what socialism is all about. And let me ask you this, Mike, with the Democrat Party, you know, I know that you're fully aware of what they preach and who they are. Would you have ever thought, and I've asked Drago this, I'll ask him in a minute, would you have ever thought when you came to this country and fully embracing what freedom is all about? And that day, you know, on the podcast, my podcast, The Experts, you explain about how when you took the oath, how it was a moment in time where you were changed. Would you have ever thought that this would be infiltrated into our own government when we're so free and we have everything we want as far as freedom goes? This must blow your mind.
You know, this is 100%. This is so fascinating to spend time to talk about socialism inside the United States. Mm-hmm. And the possibility, if someone wins, and it will come to us. They are using the same playbook from the socialist, the playbook. Go to the teachers, go to the students, go to the books, and start young and start them to learn that socialism is good. It's the same, same playbook that they use in socialist places. It's just fascinating how they're using this and they think we're stupid.
Yeah. Well, this is interesting. The last statement is very interesting because the smarter our phones become and the more indoctrinated, the more years that we spent indoctrinating, having our youth indoctrinated in the schools, we literally have become, I don't know if it's, I want to use the term stupid, but we've definitely become more ignorant to the reality of what's happening in this country.
Yes. Lord, this is irony. Now, when the Soviet, even former Soviet Union, Russia and the republics moved away from socialism because it didn't work, it ruined them. Now we have a here homebrewed communist and socialist pushing our country into that abyss.
Right, right. Go ahead.
I'm positive. I'm sure that today, if Joseph Stalin or Osama bin Laden were alive, they would be proud to join this Democratic Party.
And that was that's probably shocking to some people, but you agree with that, Mike?
Yes, because that's what they want. That's exactly what they want. I don't know about Osama, but the Stalin and the socialists, you people who want to show that government should have control over the people on everything, 100% on everything, and the people then start to thank the government for giving me food. Thank you for allowing me to eat today. Thank you for allowing me to drive a yellow car. That's what they want. They want you, they want that perpetual power to say the government controls, the whole thing, and the people now, you just follow what we tell you, to do.
Now, we got about 2 minutes left. Do you guys feel like you want to hang on for another segment?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's important.
Yeah, it's important. I think it's pretty fascinating. I think that the callers, and I know the callers are starting to line up, 833-334-6752. And you can also just spell it, 833-33-GORKA. Call in, and I'm eventually going to get your phone calls. But with the things that are happening now and the way that the media, which I want to talk about when we come back, the way that the media plays a part in all this, in both your countries that you were at, I'll start with you about 20 seconds, Mike. How big of a part did the media play in the socialism in your country?
Well, the media is only one type of media, and that's the government media. So it's just propaganda all day long based on what they want to tell you and what you want to know.
Yeah, and same in Poland, Drago?
Absolutely. They corner the propaganda, and all you can hear is what they want you to know, so you cannot even verify the fact. And
right.
This is what's happening with the fake news media, CNN and NBC.
Yeah. Listen, I want to tell everybody, we'll take a break, we'll come back. But Mike Gasalli, you can find him on Twitter. Just look up Mike Gasalli, G-H-A-S-A-L-L-I, I believe is how you spell it. And you can look up Drago on Connect Zing. It's like Facebook, but guess who created it? Drago did. I'm on there. You should go get on there. ConnectZing.com is pretty amazing. We'll take a break and we'll come right back.
Special guest host, former U.S. Navy SEAL, Jonathan Gilliam.
And this is Jonathan Gilliam in for my good buddy Sebastian Gorka. And it's always great to be in here. I'm a former Navy SEAL and FBI special agent. I've worked for four federal agencies, seen a lot of tremendous stuff. I grew up extremely, extremely poor. And I realized along the way that poverty, along with anything else that you're born with in your life that may cause you hard times. Well, you live in America. You live in a free country. It doesn't matter your color, your gender, your sexuality. None of that matters. And what do I say? Why do I say it doesn't matter? Because if you want to be something, you can. I mean, tell it to these two men who are on the phone with me that came over from other countries. One of the reasons Mike Gasalli, who is the mayor in Montvale, New Jersey, is running for Congress in the 5th District of New Jersey. Mike, real quick, tell the story quickly about what happened to you in a school and how your father determined at that moment you were leaving Syria.
I was 13 in Syria going to school. I was in seventh grade, and we have to wait for roll call and then for hygiene check. And you're supposed to look down when they do that. And on that one day, 1978, I actually looked up, and a teacher who was dressed in a military fatigue slapped me. And I said, "Why did you slap me?" Well, he slapped me a second time. I fell to the ground. He began to kick me and yell and scream. I went home. I told my dad, and he said, "Okay, this is it." On that day in 1978, he decided, we're going to leave this country, and we're going to go to the United States of America. 2 years later, we arrived at JFK, and I remember carrying two plastic bags. We arrived on a Friday night. On Monday morning, I found a job making bagels and going to high school.
Wow. Now, Drago, when did you decide you were going to come to the United States and quickly tell us what your experience was when you first arrived here?
Well, after my prison time as a political prisoner in socialist Gulag, that we call it Gulag, it's just a prison holding political prisoners. So when I left, I was being prosecuted and constantly. It became unsafe. Some of those people that I know were disappearing from the streets. So I decided it's time to leave. It's time to go somewhere where I can be safe and I can leave as a free man. So I went to the I came to the United States in 1984. And of course, first thing I did, I found me a job. I was a janitor in the church. I was cleaning a school and the toilets. But at the same time, I was learning English. Because when I came to America, I didn't speak English, and I had only a bag of clothes with me. So, well, look where I am now.
Very, very similar.
Only in America.
Yeah, only America. But what's interesting with both of you guys, you came here with a bag of clothes. You spoke very little English. I know Drago didn't tell you this, but he learned his English basically from reading comic books and watching cartoons. Wasn't that right?
That's correct. Yes.
So
I didn't have money or time to get to school. So
you know, when I hear these stories, and I want to ask you guys about this, when you hear people saying that they're oppressed in this country, Mike, do they really know what oppression really is?
No, they have not lived it. They don't know what's it like to wait in line for bread for hours, and then you come to the window, and they tell you there's no more bread, come back tomorrow. And in many cases, bread is the main course, where we put some water on top of it, some sugar, slice it, and there's your meal. They have no idea what that feels like.
Yeah, people don't know what the oppression is, but just wait. Let the Democratic Party get a hold of our government, get a hold of the power. Everybody will know pretty quick what the oppression is. We had examples of it during the Obama administration when state entities were unleashed on our citizens and conservative organizations.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Poverty, where I grew up extremely poor, poverty doesn't know nor does it care about color, sexuality, gender. But the thing about what your stories are versus mine, I grew up in a country and luckily had an incredible mom that always told me I could be whatever I wanted to be. I had nothing. We didn't have anything. Nobody helped us out. But the difference between us and you guys is that in America, you have the opportunity to make whatever you want to make out of yourself, regardless of the minor oppression or the hard times or the prejudice or any of that stuff. You can just simply keep pushing. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, 100%. When I finished school, I came up with a process for supply chain management that's being used by Fortune 500 companies all over the place. And now a major supply chain company bought that company, and I was blessed. And you can do it in the United States. I had the freedom to do it. And there's so many stories like this where people come here and they have ideas, and the ideas become a service that helps, you know, this country. We could do it here. There's no way I could do something like that back in Syria.
Go ahead, Drago.
This is the only country in the world where you can be what you are able to be. There's nothing to stop you. I'm not saying what you want to be. If I wanted to be astronaut now at my age, I don't think I would be astronaut, but I can be what I am able to be, and there is nothing that is stopping me. There's the only one country in the world like this. This is America. We are a very exceptional country.
So we don't have time to take this call at this point, but what I want to do is we're going to have another break in about a minute. And I want to actually, you know what I'll do? I'm going to take the caller now and then. Okay. Oh, that's right. Here's what I'm going to do. Okay. I'm going to Drago. I'm going to let you go at this break. Mike, if you can hold over, there's another caller on the other line and I want to let you hear what he has to say, and then I'll release you, Mike, because I know you have an event tonight. So it's going to be a very interesting question. I'm going to hold that caller though for just a minute. But let me—I got about 60 seconds, real quick. Let me just say this, Drago. I can't thank you enough for all that you've done for this country and coming over here and showing that you can make something of yourself no matter what the odds. I mean, it's just a phenomenal thing of what you've done, and I can't thank you enough, brother, for all your service to this country.
Thank you, Jonathan, but I think you got it backwards. This is me who is saying thank you. I'm saying thank you to America for
you
my
got
freedom.
It. You got it. You got it, brother. Sorry we had to cut you there. This is John the Gillum filling in for Sebastian Gorka. We got to go take a break, and then we'll be right back.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Created Equal, Clarence Thomas, in his own words.
I want to talk to you about that movie. It's playing in theaters that I'm urging all of you to go to see because it's just a terrific film. And it's not just about any man. It's about a man that many of us admire, Justice Clarence Thomas. The movie features Thomas himself talking about his uniquely American journey, one that begins in crushing poverty and in the segregated South and ends with Thomas confronting Senate Democrats in a confrontational battle that would test his and the nation's soul. The movie is filled with dramatic turns and confessions of the heart as Thomas tells the story of his childhood and the larger-than-life grandfather who helped him raise him. We witness a remarkable philosophical and spiritual journey as well. Thomas walks us through his early ambitions in seminary, his radical turn left, which most people don't know about, and one filled with anger and rage, and eventually his return to faith. The movie is called Created Equal, Clarence Thomas in His Own Words, and conservatives everywhere need to see it. It will make you angry. It will make you laugh, to think, and cry. For theater locations and showtimes and tickets, go to JusticeThomasMovie.com. That's JusticeThomasMovie.com, JusticeThomasMovie.com. Now, I want to go to Michael on the phone who's calling from Florida, and I'm going to let Mike Gasali answer his question. Guys, we got very little time before we go off. So go ahead, Michael, ask your question. We've got 2 minutes.
Okay. All right. Well, it's not really a question. It's a statement. Actually, I'm a patriot. I joined the military. I served in Germany. I patrolled the east-west German border. On the other side of the border was the communist-controlled system, right? And all of those countries, Poland, East Germany, the Czech Republic, all of those were living under communism but with a socialist system. When I got out of the military, I stayed there because I was married to a German, and I lived under their level of socialism. And I lived a good life there. Health insurance was taken care of. I had a good-paying job. There was capitalism at play. I knew people that were very wealthy. Microsoft was coming into play over there. I knew people that owned homes. So,
but I got to get to what you're saying, though.
I don't think it's as bad as everybody's making it out to be, which what Bernie is kind of pushing. And I do not support the left. I do not support what the Democrats are doing. I do not support Antifa. I do not support any of that stuff.
Okay, so Mike Gasali, hold on a second, Michael. I got to go to Gasali. Go ahead, Mike Gasali. How do you respond to that as somebody who's lived in socialism?
Michael, thank you for your service, sir, first of all. But in Syria, what we had to do is we had to have vouchers for rice based on the number of families. So you can only eat rice based on what they give you to eat. And after you're done with that rice, there's no more rice for the whole month. You wait for the next month. If you say something wrong about the president or the government, you will disappear. And I had many friends who disappeared, and then they show up, and some
Mike,
of them are...
Mike, I got 10 seconds. What is your word of advice about the reality of these guys?
Stay away from socialism. We love this country. I love this country. And let's keep this country as great as this country is. Stay away.
You got it. We'll be right back.